And I think the hardest thing about coming back to school was the fact that nobody else had it and everyone wanted to know about it. Diabetes management in itself is hard. Add in a sport that's adrenaline filled, like my bloods go up.
Welcome back to the Healthy Diabetic Podcast. As always, before we get started, please remember that nothing that you hear on this podcast should be considered medical advice or otherwise. Please always consult your medical team before making any changes to your diabetes management. Okay, before we jump into this incredible guest that we have today, I just want to remind you to make sure you like, follow, subscribe to the show, leave a five-star review. It really helps the show grow. I really appreciate all of you for continuing to show up every single week and listen to these sometimes very long conversations, but I really believe that these conversations need to be had, and I really believe that these conversations are really helping people, helping you, you know, just be in a good place with diabetes. That's what I really want this show to be, and that's what I've always wanted this show to be. The show is filled with educational stuff, filled with great tips, great tricks about diabetes, great stories about diabetes, but I really want this to be a positive light in your day today. So thank you so much for listening. And make sure that you are sharing the show with someone that you believe is going to get some really good value out of it. I know you know at least one diabetic or at least one person that's going to get some really good value out of this episode and previous episodes and future episodes. So I really encourage you to share the show with someone very special to you. All right, let's dive into today's guest. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with professional boxer, female professional boxer with type 1 diabetes, Emma Sue Greentree. My conversation with Emma was incredible. I love that I got to really sit down with an athlete. I don't get to get a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances to sit down with someone that's competing and really focusing on managing their diabetes to achieve a incredible goal. And Emma was just such a incredible person to get a hold of and really connect with and have this incredible conversation with her. We talked about her training regimen. We talked about her diagnosis story and her ups and downs with diabetes. We talked about how her getting into boxing and her being able to be in the boxing world has, one, been such a passion of hers, but also she's been able to really manage her diabetes in a very specific way. So this is just a really good conversation. And if you're a parent of a young diabetic and you're maybe have questions or struggling with practice or competition with your child's type 1 diabetes, this is a great episode for you. If you're an athlete yourself, maybe you are doing rec leagues or whatever and you're an adult, this is going to be a really cool episode for you to kind of take some really good tips and some really good tricks on how to make exercise really work for you. So without further ado, let's get with Emma Sue Greentree.
Well, my name is Emma Sue Greentree, if you want to use my whole name. And I've been a diabetic since I was 9 and I'm now 25. When I was diagnosed, I was staying at one of my older sisters for 2 weeks because another one of my older sisters was in Beijing for the Olympics for softball. So mum wasn't there, dad wasn't there because they were obviously overseas watching my sister. Well, dad was home, but he wasn't well at the time. He was a bit sick, but he couldn't look after me for the 2 weeks. So I went to my sister's who had kids of her own. So I just kind of was with them. We went to school. I went to their school for a little bit. And then, I remember I was playing soccer and just things that young kids would do out on like weekend sports, and dad would come and watch, and he's watching me and I'm drinking like these big like 3-liter bottles of water or like three bottles of Gatorade as well, like just smashing the water. And he's like, oh, it's a little bit weird. Didn't really think anything of it. And yeah, I was just going to, obviously going to the toilet all the time, one of the symptoms, drinking all that water. I was even like eating like a lot more than what I would normally. Like I was eating like adult size plates of food as a 9-year-old. Yeah. And I wasn't putting on any weight. Like it was just like real bizarre. Yeah. So then when mum got home, I've moved back to my normal school and she works in the office. Well, she worked in the office where I went to school, and two of my friends, they wanted me to play soccer or run around the oval like I would normally do. And I just wouldn't. They're like, I was like, oh no, I'm really tired. I don't want to do that. Like I don't want to. And they're like thinking, oh, that's really weird. Like Emma's sporty. Emma plays soccer with us all the time, every lunchtime, every recess. What's going on? I've ended up going to the sick bay, and then I slept in the sick bay. Like I just fell asleep, and they've called my mum and they're like, oh, something's not right. Something's really off. We're not really sure what it is, but she's just sleeping. And yeah, then she's, because my mum was kind of a bit, oh, she looks really skinny. So from 2 weeks ago, like I've changed a lot. Like I was really skinny. She said I was quite, like my colour of my skin was quite off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she took me home, and my dad's actually type 2 diabetic. So he's like, why don't we test the sugars? Like I don't think it's anything, but why don't we test the sugars? And so the meter came back and it just said HI. And they're like, oh, this is weird. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, then yeah, mum called the doctors and they're like, you have to go to the hospital right now. Don't let her sleep. You know, don't let her, like, make sure she stays awake. Like, it's a 40 minute drive to the hospital. We get there, and I remember walking in, it was packed. Emergency was packed. And then I've sat down, mum's gone to the desk. She's come and sat back down, and literally within like the 5 minutes, they've gone, okay, Emma, you're coming with me. Like, you need to come in now. And ended up, I remember being very upset because I've been in hospital before and they wouldn't let me eat anything that night, and all I wanted was cheese and biscuits, which, yeah, and so obviously they did all the tests and come back in, and the next morning I've got up, and because I remember just the nurses in and out, in and out, in and out, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to sleep. But I remember the doctor coming in and explaining to my mum that I've got diabetes. And that's probably the first time I've ever seen my mum cry. And I've just turned to my mum and I've gone, because I don't know what diabetes was as a 9-year-old. I've turned to mum and I'm like, mum, it's okay. Like, I'll be fine. We've got this. And then, like, that, there, yeah, she was pretty, like, she's like, okay. Like, pulled herself together. And then the doctor was really good. Because mum thought, you know, that's it. Like she's not going to be able to do any activity anymore. Like she's just getting, because I did athletics at the time as well, she's just getting good at athletics. Like she's going to state and national events, and what are we going to do? But the doctor was really good. He's like, nothing's changed. All that's changed is she's just got a little management with her food. She's just got to learn a little bit more than what other 9-year-olds have to learn, and like it'll be fine. It'll be sweet. But yeah, like it was like, I'm here now. I'm killing it.
Emma, I just want to say that's an amazing story on two fronts. One, it's an amazing story because of how you as a 9-year-old responded to it, right? Mom, we got this. It's not a big deal. Like, yes, you don't know what it actually is and what the complexities of the condition actually is. But at 9 years old, you having the foresight to say, mom, we got this. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
The other awesome, impactful thing that I'm taking away from that story is your experience in the hospital. And I say that, and I don't know if you have many friends and in social media that you've connected with since you've been diabetic that live over here in the States. But a lot of people in America have a really hard time at the hospital because we're not supported and we're not heard. Yeah. It's not in every situation, but a lot of situations we're not supported and we're not heard when we first get diagnosed. It's not until later until we get in front of the endocrinologist and the actual specialist that we start to learn.
Yeah. And I find, sorry to interrupt, but a lot of people who are diagnosed later in life have the struggles. I feel really blessed and lucky that I was diagnosed as a child, because, you know, children, like a lot of the time, children are just, you know, really well looked after and made sure that things are good. But yeah, I've found a lot of adults that I've spoken to have lost contact even with their endos, and they're just seeing their local, like their local doctors, and it's just not, like, for me, it just feels so like bizarre, because I'm like, I had such good care, like looked after.
And yeah,
it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be curious to know, these friends that you're talking to that are adults, are they friends from your area? Like, where are you located? Are you in Australia?
Yeah. I'm in Australia, okay. New South Wales. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because the curious thing about that is, and it could be a worldwide thing, but the curious thing about that is the friends that you're connecting with that are adults that said that they had struggles at diagnosis and whatever struggle that might be, was that more people over here, or was that some people that you live with also, or you connected with on, you know, in Australia?
I haven't, to be completely honest with you, I haven't really met anyone from the States with diabetes. That's something I'd love to obviously explore, because, you know, I've seen a lot of posts and things on Facebook, Instagram, and just stuff that says, like, you know, explains kind of the like medical help that that's over there for diabetics is, yeah, it's crazy. But I've just met, yeah, just through like little diabetes camps things, I've met a few people.
Good.
And yeah, that was something that Mum put me in real early to make sure I didn't feel so alone, because I was the only one at school with it. When I got to high school, there was one other kid with it, so there's a lot of independence I found as well, which sometimes is quite hard, because it's a 24/7 job, and it's not easy. There's no way it's easy.
Yeah. Interesting. It's that makes me happy that you had a really good experience. You've had a really good experience, you know, growing up and going through the condition and learning about it. Because I guarantee I talked to 10 people and probably 5 to 7 of them at least didn't have a greatest experience or have struggled to try to figure out what works for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really sad piece, because of, you know, I mean, we can go around and round and round what the reasons of that are. It could be a medical reason, could be their own reason, could be, you know, just a lack of support reason. I mean, it's so many different reasons. So I think that's really cool about your story, the fact that you had that support from the medical system, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah. I was super lucky.
Yeah. Interesting. Talk to me about growing up. Like, what were the things, like, you know, as you're growing up, you got this when you were 9, going through middle school, going into high school, what were some of the like challenges that you faced going through it?
So I think when I was 9, I was still in it. We call it primary school. So I was in year 5, I think, year 4 maybe. And I think the hardest thing about coming back to school was the fact that nobody else had it. And everyone wanted to know about it. And I was still learning. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out and learn about it myself. I've still got no idea what it is. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at in my lunchbox and looking at the carbohydrates in something, and then looking at I had a little card at the time that said like what my blood sugars were to how many carbs I'm eating. And obviously I'm still pricking my fingers and stuff. So I was on injections. I only recently got the pumps. I got the pump 6 months ago. So that was a big change.
Wow.
For me. Yeah. So I was on the daily injections since 9 to 24.
Wow.
Yeah. For some reason I didn't want to take the leap, but then I did.
Yeah.
It's been the best thing I've done.
Yeah.
So stoked with that. But the T-Slim.
Okay. Yeah. So are you doing CGM as well?
Yeah, I'm on CGM as well. Which
when I think did you get the CGM?
I got the CGM maybe 5 years ago. So I was on injection still. But it made management so much easier.
Yeah.
Like I was, you know, going in the pool and you know when your fingers go wrinkly? Mm-hmm. I just have holes in my fingers from
fingers,
you know, all that. But yeah, like I felt really when in primary school, I just felt so like an outsider in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good because my mum was working there. So if I felt uncomfortable, I could go there to mum and I'm like, mum, I need help. So I was lucky. And then when I got to high school, I was a bit on the edge because I got selected into a sports high school. So I had to travel about an hour to hour and 20 to get to school. It was a big travel. And I was like, oh, I can't just go to mum if I need her. But by then I was super independent with it all. Like, I actually gave myself my first needle when I was in the hospital of diagnosis because I didn't want my older sister to do it because mum needed a break from the hospital. So my sister came in and my sister's like, oh yeah, I get to do it. And I'm like, I don't want you to do it. I really don't want you to. So then I just did it myself and she was devastated.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So what sports did you get selected to play in high school then?
I was doing athletics. So I still stuck to athletics and was doing really well. I went when I was – it was my year six, so my last year of primary school. I went to nationals and competed against everyone around Australia. And then I won high jump and got like third in long jump. So I was like, this is cool. And then, yeah, just kind of continued doing that through year seven, year eight, year nine. I represented my state a few times and, yeah, it was really cool. And then, there was a thing that I had to get, which every athlete who's diabetic or who has certain medications does have to get. It's like it's a therapeutic use exemption. So for insulin, it's a banned substance. But, yeah, obviously I can't live without it and a lot of people, diabetics, can't. So we just get our therapeutic use
exemption. Yeah.
And that's that solved, that problem. So if we ever get drug tested or, you know, anything, we've got this to say, hey, look, I'm a diabetic.
Is insulin use and non-insulin-dependent diabetics, is that a big problem over there? Why? That's curious why it's a banned substance.
That was my thought exactly when I had to start doing the applications and things. I was like, I don't get it. Like, I still honestly don't understand. I still don't understand why.
It's a big thing right now in bodybuilding. Huge. Yeah. It's like huge in bodybuilding right now.
That blows my mind. Like, wouldn't you? Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's because their system can still self-regulate, right? Yeah. So there's specific formulas. There's specific – I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I understand it because I still don't. Like, my brother-in-law is big into bodybuilding. And he talks about it all the time. And I'm like, I just don't understand this. Like, because if we take a bunch of insulin, we're going low.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We're going low. And, but it's, I get the premise of it, right? So the premise of it is they can eat a shitload of carbohydrates.
Mm.
And take pressure off of their pancreas.
Yeah.
Because they're getting this synthetic insulin, right? Yeah. So you eat, you know, 100, some of them are eating 150 grams of carbohydrate in one sitting.
That's crazy.
Or throughout the day. And so they're just taking insulin to help take off pressure from the pancreas. So the pancreas doesn't have to secrete so much insulin.
Yeah.
Which again, in theory makes sense, but you're also getting and putting in synthetic insulin. I can't imagine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I'm not gonna try to think I understand it, but yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so I wanna dive into your athletic professional career right now.
Yeah.
How did you get into this? How long have you been in it? What's the current status that you're competing at?
Yeah.
And then we'll go into the management style, like how it changed, how it's evolved over time, and how you've kind of made it work for you.
Yeah. Okay. So boxing, that's what I do. I love it. I've done it for 8 years now. In that 8 years, obviously it's been a struggle. Like it's not like diabetes management in itself is hard. Mm-hmm. Add in a sport that's adrenaline filled, like my bloods go up and it's just like, it's just kind of something that I've just gone, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go up. I know I'm going to go up, but that's okay. My fight, being an amateur boxer, you fight 3 3-minute rounds. So you're in there for 12 minutes max because you've got, you know, your entry and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
12 minutes max is enough, and it's not going to be detrimental to my health if I'm high for that 12 minutes, you know. I can come out, sort myself out, and I'm good. I'm not fighting again that day. That's for me, it's been pretty good. I often have lollies or just a few little bits and pieces before I go in as a just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am sitting a little bit high, that's also okay. Like I've learned that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to affect me terribly. If I'm constantly high, that's what I learned. If I'm constantly high, so if I'm high from like, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. at night every single day, that's when it's going to be bad. But yeah, like an hour of my day being high sugar is fine. It's been different with the pump. I've had to take, like, every time I train and spar and stuff, I've had to obviously I take it off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Just purely because, one, it's in the way, and two, mm-hmm. if it's pumping me with insulin, I'm going to go low. Which I put it, like, I can put it on exercise mode and stuff, but I've just found the more suitable method for me is to just take it completely off. But yeah, I've not had, touch wood, I've not had any issues of being low in the ring when I'm competing. I have when I've trained, but training and competing are two completely different things. Like I could be training for an hour and a half, but again, in the ring while I'm fighting is only, you know, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, how I got into boxing was just out of just random, really.
Mm.
I was getting over athletics. So I was 17. I was getting over athletics because I've got a really competitive head and I wasn't getting any better. So it was really annoying me. And I was like, oh, I don't want to keep doing something if I'm not getting any better. Like it's been, what, maybe 12 months and I'm like, I haven't got any PBs. This is annoying me. I'm going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm just going to quit. And I was like, oh, I can't not do anything. So then my dad's come home one day. He knew I was on the fence about still doing athletics, and my dad's come home and he said to me, oh, I've been working with this guy. So my dad he drives excavators and heavy machinery stuff. He was doing a job with this guy who was a boxing coach. And then like they just got in the conversation and they're like, why don't you give it a go? And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, then I went in and that was it. I just fell in love with it.
Got hooked.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I had my biggest year of competing last year. I went to my first international tournament around this time last year. So I went to Bulgaria and Hungary first, and I came home with 2 gold medals, which was cool. So I was in the light heavyweight division then. And from that I got selected to be in the Australian women's team to go to India for the Women's World Championships. And from there I came home with a bronze. So that was really cool. I was like, wow, I've got 2 golds, I've got a bronze. What else can I do? And then I had one more international competition in Poland and got another gold. So I was like, this is awesome. I got to keep going. but, yeah, and so we had our Olympic trials, and unfortunately light heavyweight's not an Olympic division. So I had to drop weight, which I did, and that's another, like, really hard thing to do with diabetes is to cut the weight.
Yes.
I've found a lot of struggles with that, and then I think for me I've just got to make sure I remain focused and patient. Like, it's going to happen. I just need to do a little bit more work and adjust my insulin levels and, you know, do all that. But, yeah, then obviously I went to our Olympic trials and I fought the girl. So the way the draw worked was I had one fight against a girl from Queensland. I beat her, and then the next fight in my draw was against the current Australian champion. And I think it was my best fight I've had. So I fought her a couple of times, but I think that was my best fight that I've had with her. And I thought I did enough to get the win, but unfortunately I didn't. So, yeah, I didn't get that, which sucked, but I still had a really good year. And I forgot about that after that. So I completely just erased the fact that the year that I had already been so huge. So it sucked. Like,
yeah.
To me, it's like my dreams to go to the Olympics. My sister went to the Olympics and I want to do the same. Like, but yeah, there's still the next one and that's still my goal. So
when's the next one?
It'll be 2028 in LA.
Yeah. Okay. When does all of the trials and start? Like, when does the trials for you guys start for that?
So that probably won't start till 2027. So still got ages.
Yeah, so a year or so before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dang, girl. What a story. What a story.
Yeah. Like,
dang, what a story. What typically is your blood sugar? Like, when you typically go into practice, what is your blood sugar typically? Or when do you like to have it at?
I think the way that Australia does their blood sugars and you guys do yours is different. So
totally different,
ours ours is whatever it is.
Millimeters or millimoles.
Whatever it is. I like to sit. I like to sit at like a, maybe like an 8.8. roughly, which I don't know what that converts to be, but
it's about 158. I just did the math.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I like to sit around that when I go in, because that way I know if I'm dropping, I have enough time to, like, 15 minutes. I'm not going to drop below to be in a low. And if I go high, that's fine. Like, you know, I usually don't go above 16. Which is, I don't know what that is.
16 would be 288, like around there.
So, I don't like to be anywhere above that. But, 8 for me is like my personal, like what I want to be, which seems to work well.
So how does that change when you're actually competing?
A lot of the time.
You go high when you're competing for that 12.
A lot of the time it just shoots up and it just sits there. Like, I know I've from like the first few kind of fights that I had, I would sit up and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm so high. I need to have insulin. So I'd have my insulin and then I'd have too much because it's not like the high blood sugar came from food and sugar and stuff. Like it's just from adrenaline. And so it's going to come back down, which I've learned that. Like, so I've, what a lot of the time I do now is if I am high around that 16 mark, I'll have half of what I would normally have. That was on injections. I haven't actually had a fight with the pump yet. So that's still
something interesting.
Gotta learn.
Yeah, because in my head, right, as the coach now coming out of me, in my head, I think about being able to utilize MDI during that situation, during, you know, like an hour before.
Yeah.
Or figuring out like, hey, before I even go in for the first round, if I'm high, I take, you know, a quarter of a unit or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to know I can bring myself down.
Yeah. I do think it's going to be something that I'm looking into. Like I've had a few times where like I've done sparring, so not a fight setting. It's, you know, you still do your three rounds, whatever, but I've found with some sparring sessions, like I've just dropped really low during them. And I'm like, okay, so I've got to figure out when to take the pump off, you know, find that perfect timing. But like every diabetic knows, no day is ever going to be the same. As much as you want it to, there's just so many factors that just affect everything. So, yeah, it's still going to be a learning. Like it's a learning for everyone, really. Every day is learning.
I'd be curious too for you. If you can connect with some other professional athletes, maybe not in boxing, but other professional athletes, just like messaging them on Instagram, if you can connect with them, a lot of them have that you can't connect with them on DMs, but but that might be an option, you know, like, hey, this is what I'm doing, blah blah blah. What do you do, you know, being on an insulin pump? You know, to help with lows or highs during competition, during practice, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you said you take it off even for sparring and practice.
Yeah. Take it off. Yeah. Even like if I go for a run, I take it. Like I just find that if I have it on and like I've been going low, so I should take it off and have it off for however long. Maximum time I have it off is like hour and a half, which seems to be fine. Like at this point, like it's been 6 or so months since I've got it, and we're finally getting like the insulin kind of adjustments right, which is really cool. Like I've been seeing a lot less low blood sugars, which is nice because obviously when I'm low, I've got to have the sugar. And then if I'm cutting weight, that's extra calorie. Like it's just very crazy balancing act, but it's coming together.
Yeah, whole puzzle. And I'd be curious too. Have you messed with the exercise mode on the tandem pump on the
T-Slim? I've tried it. I have, but I've just found that even that, like I usually put that on after I've finished exercising, so I'll put the pump back in. Then put exercise mode on for maybe hour and a half, 2 hours, just in case it wants to just smash me with insulin and then I'll just drop. But, yeah, I've found that exercise mode works for the period after.
Interesting.
Exercise. Yeah.
Interesting. I know it would be probably really annoying to try to have the pump on during sparring and during practice. But cause the exercise mode is supposed to be for exercise, it almost works as like, you know, if you're using Control IQ, it's trying to prevent hypoglycemia. So it's not going to, it's trying to turn off insulin secretion after, you know, if you're going to go past 110.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to play with and experiment with.
And that's what I think a lot of it is too. Like, it's just like, you can only get so much from your endos and your doctors and,
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of fiddling around for the individual. Like, that's what I found, like, I've had to do. So, like, you know, I keep in contact with them and tell them what I'm doing, but at the end of the day, it's not their body doing the things it's doing. Like, it's mine. Like, I've got to make sure I'm, you know, doing what I can. Mm-hmm. You can't see your endo every day. So,
And also, it's not going to be the same every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you think you figure it out, and then something else gets, you know, some other factor gets thrown into the equation. It's like, dang.
Yeah, the weather changes. Well, or like,
there you go. Yeah, simple things like the weather. Absolutely. So, how much on the days that you're not really sparring or practicing? I don't know if you are you practicing every single day.
Most weekdays. Sometimes like our sparring will be on like a Saturday or a Sunday as well. Okay. But I'm always kind of doing something active, whether it be walking or
I've
gotten into doing a bit of rock climbing, which is fun.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I could see that from a boxer. Heck yeah. Use your hands.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. There you go. Train your hands in a different way.
Yeah.
I love that. How much insulin are you on every day then? Like, what's your total from your basal and your bolus and your corrections? What's the average you typically on every day? We'll do the calculations for everybody that's listening from America.
Where am I?
I'm just curious. Because I guarantee you're probably on a very low amount.
Yeah, I think I started on a fair bit. Where am I? Total daily dose. So for Friday, I had 37 units of insulin.
Okay.
My total.
So that's doing the calculation for you.
Yeah. And then the day before, I had 32.
Okay.
And then before that, I had 30. So I must have had extra food yesterday.
Yeah. So you probably between 30 and 35-ish on an average.
Yeah.
My guess. Yeah. I mean, that's low. What's the percentage then of basal versus bolus
on those days? So on Friday. I'll do Thursday because that's kind of in between the 30 and 35. Basal for Thursday was 56.1%, and then the bolus was 43.8%.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, because they say that the percentage should be, you should have more basal than bolus. That just means that you're not correcting as much for high blood sugars.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was a big thing for me when I first got it. I was seeing all these highs and I was like, oh, I got to correct it. And then my nurse is like, emailed me. She's like, just let it do its thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm
It's the amazing thing about the technology of the Omnipod and the T-Slim. I can't speak to the Medtronic pump because I haven't used it in a long, long time.
Hmm.
But both of those algorithms are sweet.
Yeah.
And they're trying to predict you going over 150, 160 and trying to make sure that you don't go past 110.
Yeah.
So it's a super cool technology to try to help us keep us in range. But at the end of the day, if we've got, you know, like directional arrows going up and the straight arrows going up, like that algorithm can't stop that.
Yeah. And you're looking at it like,
you got to intervene.
I got to do something.
Yeah. Interesting. Love it. What is the biggest thing that you've learned being a diabetic, living with diabetes? What's the biggest thing that you've learned in your management style, from the time that you were on MDI competing in athletics and now going into boxing for the past 8 years and now getting onto the pump? What's kind of the biggest things that you've kind of learned?
I think for me, patience has been a big one.
I like that.
Yeah, I think just knowing that, like, I do have, it's not as much as it is individualized, like diabetes, it's not anyone else's problem. I have a lot of people around me that are happy to help me as much as they can. And you know, as much as I try and push them away, like I need to kind of accept the fact that they will help me and that they want to help me. It's not they're trying to change things for me, but they're just actually trying, coming from a place of care, and they know that it is hard and it is consistent, and it's patience and acceptance has been huge. Especially with the changing of technologies and stuff, like, you know, I went from finger pricks and multiple daily injections to a CGM, which was a big change. And I'm like, oh, wow, I only have to prick my finger every so often now. And then we got the upgraded CGM, which is like, you never have to prick your finger. It's like, whoa. Like, you know, you get up to 10 finger pricks a day. To now doing one every week or twice a week, like it's just
if you have to calibrate or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, going from the injections, me thinking like, oh, I don't want an insulin pump, because what if it kinks in my sleep, or how's it going to be when I have to take it off for sport, and then realizing that it's so much easier with a pump to do just life. Like, yeah, I've sat it here a couple of times. Like, I'd be wearing a crop top and people come up to me and go, why do you have a GoPro? This is my pancreas, not my GoPro.
Those of you who are listening to this, what she's talking about, holding her T-Slim like up like by underneath her chin, like on her bathing suit or whatever, like anything that she has. Oh, that's hilarious. Why do you have a GoPro?
Well, like, I'm not filming my whole life, like I'm not this is my life to keep me alive. I'm videoing.
That's funny. Do you get a lot of people come up and ask you questions, and how do you feel about that? How do you feel when people come up and ask you questions?
I like it. I really enjoy when people ask me about, like, I would love it if more people would come up and ask me, because there's so much people don't know. Like, they'd come up to me and they'd be like, oh, you know, you don't look like a diabetic. And I'm like, what is a diabetic supposed to look like, you know? Ask me about it. Like there's few types of diabetes around. Like, ask me which one I have. And no, it's not from eating too much sugar. And no, it's not from eating enough sugar. Where does that come from, you know?
Yeah. Well, it unfortunately comes from the stigmatism of type 2 diabetes. Which isn't even true about type 2 diabetes. But anytime people hear diabetes or diabetic, like, they think type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. And then automatically think to overweight. You don't look like a diabetic.
You don't look like diabetic. Well, okay.
Guess what, so I am.
Yeah. I mean, I know plenty of type 2s because I've interviewed them on the show.
Yeah.
That are very athletic, way more athletic than me, but their body just doesn't respond very well to carbohydrates. And so they've had to learn how to eat carbohydrates and what type of carbohydrates they should be eating. So every person's different and unique. Yeah. And that's why that's one of the things I love about this condition, because you think about something like breast cancer. Yeah, there's different types of breast cancer, but it's still pretty much breast cancer.
Yeah.
And the treatment for that is pretty much the same for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything about breast cancer, because I don't. But diabetes is not the same in every single person. The symptoms are not the same. How you treat it is not the same. You can treat it in different ways.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this condition is so unique and so awesome at the same time. Yeah, we don't want it. It'd be great not to have diabetes, but
it's the cards we've been dealt.
A super cool thing to have.
Yeah. It's that's it. Like there's no point kind of, you know, being upset about it because it can't be changed. You know, you're constantly hearing, oh, we're gonna find a cure. It's 5 years away. No, it's not. Don't hold on to that because we don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's some cool stuff going on right now.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of cool stuff.
Cells. There's this new pouch now that they're talking about. I'm just like, oh my God. We'll see how this goes.
I've seen a lot of things that are like, you know, clinical trials and stuff for newly diagnosed diabetics. I'm like, damn it, I'm not newly diagnosed anymore.
Well, that's interesting because I think the stem cell stuff at first, at least this is the things I've read, and then, you know, research is always changing, but from what I understand, the stem cell stuff is really cool, but not everyone is going to be eligible. Like you have to have some pancreatic functionality to some of these treatment plans.
Yeah.
And then there's this new, like, I just think it's super fascinating, this new pouch plan where they're basically inserting a pouch that has beta cells in it that is going to act as a pancreas. And there's some really cool trials going on about that right now.
I'll have to look that one up. I've not seen that.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly the research on it, maybe not the research on it, but I mean, they just started clinical trials, I believe, in the last year or 2 years. So it's fairly new, that treatment plan. But the stem cell stuff's really cool too, because if they can figure out how to reanimate or even reactivate you know, your pancreas cells.
Pancreas, yeah.
But there's some really cool stuff happening. And you know, I think a cure is closer than it ever has been.
Yeah.
When that's gonna happen? I don't know. It could be 5 years. It could be next year. It could be 30 years. Who knows? But there's some really cool stuff happening for people that will be eligible.
Yeah.
Who knows, Em, if we're going to be eligible?
Yeah. Look. You know. Well, I mean, I think for me, if I didn't have diabetes, like I wouldn't be who I am today. Like I'd be
exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'd be doing.
That's a really cool perspective because I don't know if researchers have thought about that. Mm-hmm. The people like us who diabetes is not part of their identity. It's who they are. Mm-hmm. You take that away. Now what?
Yeah.
You can go back to living the life you used to live, but it's still part of you and who you are.
That's it.
So there going to be emotional stuff that's going to come up about it? Is there, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there won't be because it's just like, oh yeah, I don't have to prick my finger, or oh hey, heck yeah, I don't have to wear these devices. Or
I honestly wouldn't know. I don't think I would know what to do.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm so used to checking my blood and, you know, doing the adjustments and seeing the carbohydrates. It's like, like there's food in front of me. What am I doing? Like, can I just eat that? Like,
yeah, that would be an adjustment, 100%.
Yeah.
It really would. It would be an adjustment.
Go back to being 9 and eating all the lollies that I want.
There you go. Awesome, girl. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. One last question for you. Could you give the listeners like 1 to 3 things that you think could be something that's impactful for them? That they could like introduce into their management now or take action on now. You talked a little bit about patience and those things, types of things as well. If there's any, is there anything else that you can think of that really helps you day to day that someone could like put into action right now?
Yeah. So I think one of my biggest things is making sure I do have a good circle of people around me. You know, telling them, like, just kind of explaining to them what the ins and outs of diabetes are, like what a hypo looks like, what a hyper looks like, you know, just making sure they can see things instead of kind of assuming things. I think that's a really big one, is just, yeah, that network and just building that network. And whether it be reaching out to people on social media who are diabetics or who know a little bit more about diabetes, like it's not a bad thing to ask questions. I think that is a big thing for me. Like I was a curious kid, so I asked a lot of questions, awesome. Which was good because I found out a lot of things early on. But I know there is a lot of people who are very keep to themselves a lot, and like it's hard. Like diabetes is hard, and you don't have to be alone. Like even though it is like your body, like you don't have to be alone in this journey. Like it's a big thing. Like just don't be scared. You know, be patient, be happy, try and be happy. It's the cards we've been dealt, so there's nothing that can be changed, and there's no use sitting there going, why me? I didn't do anything wrong. Like, no, you didn't do anything wrong, but you've been given diabetes. Like, I've got diabetes. You've been given diabetes to prove something, you know. Mm-hmm. There's something in you that's – there's a reason you got it. Don't know what it is, but – obviously there is something that's there. It's there, and it's your journey to be that bigger person, like grow from it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. What a way to end. What a way to end. Emma, thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome. I'm so glad that I got to talk to you, connect with you, chat with you. About diabetes, about your amazing career with boxing. And I expect to see you in LA in 2028.
I'll be there.
You better be here. We expect to see you in the Olympics in 2028 in LA.
Yeah, doing it for all diabetics.
There you go. Hey, that's right. You're doing it for all of us, girl.
Yeah.
We're all up on your shoulder now. We got you. We're lifting you up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma, for coming on. Everyone, thank you for listening, and I will see you guys next time.